Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, bowel disease, not generally thought of as a popular topic of conversation, but it's a conversation that shouldn't be shied away from, because about 20,000 people in this country suffer from colitis and indeed Crohn's disease. No one really wants to talk about their bowel movements, let's face it, but many people are suffering in silence, and some people emerge from that silence to make it a less taboo story, like Alison Kelly, who's 23 years old from Limerick. Good morning to you, Alison.
Morning, Ryan. How are you?
It's very nice to talk to you. And as I say, not a topic for everyone on a given day, but you've decided, no, let's talk about it and stop hiding about it.
Yeah, that's true. It's really, especially for younger people, it's not interesting. It's not something nice you want to talk about. So yeah. I think it's about time we start.
Well, let's start then with your story, Alison, and thanks for coming on to talk about it. You were 13, as I understand it, when you realised, okay, we're in trouble here.
Yeah, that's true. It was, I'll take you back to October 2005.
Yeah,
I was 13 and I won't forget it, because I was on my way to a friend's birthday party that week, mm-hmm. and started off with symptoms of diarrhea, and tried some over-the-counter kind of medication, and it just, nothing was changing, nothing was getting better. So then that kind of started off the kind of long road of tests and doctor's visits and in and out to hospitals, and it wasn't until May the next year that I got a diagnosis.
And the diagnosis said, sorry, it's bad news, you've got Crohn's disease.
Yeah, but at the time it was kind of like, what is that? I've never heard of it.
But let's just go back to when you're going to the party and something like diarrhea, not, you know, even the word conjures up all the worst images. But look, it's a fact of bodily function in life. Sometimes you get it, sometimes it happens. What was happening to you as a 13-year-old kid heading to a party or you know, when it was becoming problematic?
It was just, I was getting so weak and so dehydrated and tired from it all. It was hard enough to kind of get out and about, and then to go into a party. And I remember my mum said to me, look, it's only 10 minutes away, we'll come and collect you, just give us a call if anything goes wrong. So that was really important to know that there was an exit, I suppose.
Yeah, but even if when you were at a party or somebody else's house, would you be going to the loo all the time?
No, that never really happened to me. God. I was quite lucky, but it does happen to an awful lot of people.
Yeah, not an easy thing to happen to anyone, especially when you're 13, and maybe even more so if you're a girl at 13. Awkward age anyway.
Yeah, very awkward age. A lot of stuff going on as it is. And then to have that landed on you is a bit testing, all right.
Yeah, so they suggested to you Crohn's disease, and you'd never heard of it. Had your mum heard of it?
No, no one at all.
No. And just before the diagnosis, of course, you went to Paris.
Yeah, that was it. In April that year, we had a school trip, and there was all kinds of activities obviously lined up for us, including swimming, which was fun. But yeah, that was worrying.
Why was it worrying?
Well, first of all, you're a 13-year-old girl, self-conscious, body conscious, and then you have to. I was wondering, you know, is something going to happen? Am I going to have an accident? Is this going to be okay? So luckily everything was fine, but it was kind of a constant worry going on in my head as to whether I'd get through it or not.
That's a horrible thing to have to think about all the time. Of course, everyone takes it for granted that the bowel movement will come and go as it should. But when you're sitting in your position, a young girl, thinking of things like your the girls in the class, or did you have anyone you could say to them, look, I'm not really well, I've got a thing wrong here, or did you keep it to yourself?
I mostly kept it to myself. I was sharing a room with my best friend at the time, so I think I just mentioned to her, you know, maybe this could happen, but luckily everything was okay.
What were the triggers then when you were in difficulty with diarrhea and bowel movements? What would start it all off?
I don't remember, like, there being a particular food or, like, a stressful event or anything.
Yeah.
Like, as far as I can remember, it came from nowhere. And to this day, there's only a few foods and stuff that I know to stay away from.
Like what?
Alcohol is the main one, caffeine, kind of like high sugar, acidic, kind of like energy drinks, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just things that are kind of obviously going to be quite harsh on your stomach. So, but then again, everyone has their own list, and some people's are a lot longer than that. So I'm pretty lucky.
When you were diagnosed with Crohn's disease, you obviously went and did some homework and said, well, what the hell is this? And what did you learn?
Well, I was sent away from hospital with just a leaflet and a follow-up appointment for the consultant a few months later.
Right.
So I didn't really know where to go from there. I don't remember there being much about the internet at that stage. Like, I don't think I had much access to it anyway. So I was kind of in the dark, to be honest. I don't remember learning much about it for a while.
And then eventually you did learn a bit more about it. And what sort of things were they saying?
Well, I think it really started when I came to college. I started studying neuroscience and then kind of got more interested in the scientific aspect. And, you know, even if you just Google it, you go onto Wikipedia or anything, like, there's a lot of pretty scary images.
Yeah.
And did you do that?
No, the reason I'm laughing is because Google and medication and medical diagnoses is a terrible match. That if you're sick, you should go to somebody who knows their business, that is a GP or a doctor, not to a computer screen that could tell you that you're going to die by diarrhea or something.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying. So I wouldn't recommend anyone to do
that.
No,
of course not. But of course, it's probably the go-to. So so that told you all the most gruesome things. What was the reality, Alison?
The reality for me was I was actually quite well for maybe 5-6 years. I was quite lucky. See, Crohn's kind of comes in periods of like relapse, or what we call a flare-up. And then if you're lucky, you can get into remission after that, where obviously the disease is quiet and not too active. So I was quite lucky to be in remission since diagnosis for about 5 or 6 years. And then it was when I was in college in UCD in third year, I started having problems again. And things went quite bad for me that year, actually.
In what way?
I ended up missing my summer exams because I was just so sick. I was absolutely... The fatigue is something that people don't talk about. And it was just unbelievable. I think I was sleeping at one stage for about 16 hours a day and basically just getting up to eat and go to the toilet and not much else. Like, I was just in bed constantly. So I couldn't do exams in that kind of state. So
yes.
I missed them and that kind of set me back.
And the medication, I know the medication has side effects that just aren't good and not easy to take.
Yeah, myself, I had a bad reaction to something. The first medication I was on it since my diagnosis up until last summer, when I had just a normal checkup with my consultant, and she said there was a problem with my kidney function. And then there was tests from there and found out that I have permanent kidney damage from that medication. So that was a lot to take in at 22 years of age, being told that you've two conditions that have no cure, you kind of lifelong have to manage them. But then there's every other medication after that, there's a list of side effects as long as your arm that go with them, and pretty terrible as well. Sometimes you kind of have to wonder, like, weigh up the pros and cons, are the side effects worth taking the medication in some cases?
Yeah, I know that the steroids can make, you know, even most slim of people heavier, of course, and different things, bigger appetite, a lot of energy, these kind of things.
Yeah, that's true. I've been on steroids a couple of times myself, and yeah, some people will say that, you know, that they don't notice the change in you, but you're definitely going to notice it yourself, because one of the main things is you get this moon face. Your cheeks kind of like puff out, kind of like a hamster or squirrel, you know, kind of. And yeah, it's very obvious to you, but people say that they can't see it, but maybe they're just being nice, I don't know.
Well, I presume nobody's going to be mean to you under the circumstances, but then if people don't know, that's the other thing. You can't drink alcohol. I presume that's not going to exactly be the be-all or end-all, is it?
No, I'm quite used to it now. I might have a glass of wine for a special occasion, but no, I'm quite comfortable not drinking alcohol now.
You can live without it. And what about things like breaking wind, to use the polite expression? Is this an issue for people with Crohn's disease as well?
I think it is, and it's probably something that people obviously don't want to talk about because no one wants to admit that it happens.
I'll talk to you about it.
Great.
Go on. So, so is it more? It happen more often, or what's the issue?
I think it can, like, especially when you're in that period of relapse, when things aren't going right. Like, you're very in tune with your body, and you're kind of waiting for things to happen, and so you don't get much peace. Let's put it like that.
That is the most diplomatic way of dealing with flatulence I think I've ever heard. But I suppose if you're at a lecture or something, or if you're in the library, is there an issue around? I'm not trying to be funny at all, but do you have a mechanism to deal with it?
I'd probably just like go to the nearest bathroom, to be honest, because, you know, it's not something you want to happen in public, really. So
yeah,
keep it to yourself if you can.
Just keep it all in as much as you can. It is an invisible disease in the sense that I could meet you tomorrow and I'd have no idea that you were going through what could be described as considerable amount of pain with Crohn's disease. So yes. How do you broach it with people? Or do you bother?
I do, to be honest. I think I'm quite lucky because I'm in like the scientific kind of area. So people, even if they haven't heard of it, they're usually quite receptive to that kind of thing. They're quite open and, you know, they're not going to laugh at you or, you know, be disgusted by it. So I'm quite lucky like that. And, I don't know how I kind of, like, say one day, oh, by the way, I have Crohn's disease.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I have to explain to you.
Yeah.
But you don't. you're in a long-term relationship, or long-distance relationship even. Well, both.
Yeah, both.
Both has happened. And is that working okay, comings and goings?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. My boyfriend's name is Shane, and he's in Athlone at the moment. So, yeah, very happy together.
Good. Tex says, my daughter has Crohn's disease, and I have to say that people who live with this disease are amazing. And another says, I've had Crohn's disease since I was 17. I'm 34 now, married with kids. Crohn's is a terrible disease when you're young. It's a really horrible disease to have when there's no information available. Two surgeries later, I'm in remission. Food and stress are the triggers. No one understands the fatigue. So well done to Alison for getting through college. What is next for you? I mean, can Crohn's disease be beaten, defeated?
Well, there's no cure, so kind of the main goal at the moment is to extend your remission periods for as long as possible. And everyone kind of, you know, there's no one set way of doing that. And that's kind of another thing that's challenging about the disease. Like, everyone has different symptoms and everyone has to be managed differently. So I think that is quite challenging, both for the patients and for kind of medical professionals as well.
Yeah, well, you're on the road, hopefully, and it ends the right way, Alison. Thanks so much for broaching that topic with us, and we wish you well in all your endeavours.
Thanks very much, Ryan.
Thanks, Alison. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Bye now.
Bye now. It's 21 minutes past 10.